providing you accept the risks and the gambles and perform to your own limitations within the bounds of safety, then there's no reason why you can't be as safe as anybody else on the hills.
Later, Radio Scotland in the Slice with Ewan McElroy. Learning to ski can be difficult at the best of times, but members of one Edinburgh ski club have an additional problem. They're either blind or of very limited vision, yet with a little help from friends and some technical assistance, the club members zip down the slopes with ease. Helen Ross has been finding out how they do it.
Just let the skis run. That's good. That's good. Right. Yeah, that's much better. Left.
I've been skiing for about a year. The Blind Ski Club got in touch with me and asked me if I wanted to go and ski. And I said, yeah, I like going fast. It's just good.
Yeah, just let your skis run. Okay, you've got plenty of space. Okay, and left. That's good. And right.
13-year-old Robbie Murray, a recent convert to the joys of skiing, but already hooked. Although he's only a very limited amount of vision, Robbie's able to ski because he's connected via a radio headset to a sighted guide who instructs him when to turn or to stop. The only other indication that this is no ordinary skier is the vest that Robbie wears, which alerts sighted skiers to the fact that he's blind. Jim Gebby is secretary of Scottish Disabled Skiers Club, which meets in Edinburgh's Hill End Centre, as well as travelling to real snow further north and indeed abroad. There are around 10 blind or visually impaired skiers who come regularly with their guides, and they're as mixed in ability as any ski club.
I would say that the best of our members will be able to tackle nearly any run, any black run. A large proportion of our members can do reds, and virtually all our members can do blues quite easily. There is really nothing on piste that I would not expect a good blind skier to be able to do. I have seen some of them doing ski jumps and some other quite difficult skiing in and out of holes, etc.
One of the club members is Les Mitchell.
I've been skiing now for roughly 8-9 years and took it up through necessity. Originally, I was a scout leader. And the policy in the troop was that I would never ask the boys to do anything which I wouldn't undertake myself. They wanted to learn to ski, so therefore I had to learn to ski.
What is it you enjoy about skiing then?
Freedom. Being out on the hillside, enjoying nature, enjoying the companionship that you have with your guide and with other skiers.
But I have to put it to you that skiing for people who don't ski looks pretty frightening anyway. And for someone who can't see or can't see very much, isn't it really frightening?
No. Skiing is as frightening to someone who doesn't ski as bungee jumping or parascending or jumping out an airplane is to anyone that doesn't indulge in that sport. Each sport has its own risks, its own gambles. Providing you accept the risks and the gambles and perform to your own limitations within the bounds of safety, then there is no reason why you can't be as safe as anybody else on the hills.
The development of new technology like the radio headsets has helped greatly. Communication between skier and guide is made easier, even in windy conditions. The volunteers who act as guides are specially trained. Jim Gebby again.
The guide must be able to ski parallel without any difficulty, and sufficiently well not to need to concentrate on his own skiing or where he is going. But he must be able to watch his blind ski companion extremely carefully and see that they turn when they should turn and stop when they should stop. And if they don't do that, if they're not absolutely accurate, then trouble follows. The blind person must be able to put absolutely implicit trust on his guide, just as much as a blind man or woman has to put trust in a guide dog, so they must be able to trust the ski guide, because they can't know on a mountainside what's ahead of them, whether there's rocks, whether there's indeed a precipice, and they must be prepared just to accept what the guide says and act immediately on his instruction.
Left and right, and keep going that direction, keep coming round to the right.
Les Mitchell's guide is 15-year-old Keith McPherson.
Well, you really have to think of him skiing, and not about your skiing. It's quite difficult, but you've got to have a lot of concentration.
And how far in advance would you have to give someone like Les instructions on where or when to turn?
Not that for, well, he's quite good at skiing, so he does it automatically as soon as I say it.
Les, you're, well, let's be honest, a good deal older than Keith here, and yet he's the one who's guiding, he's the one who's giving you these instructions in your ear. Does that kind of relationship, is that a problem at all?
No problem at all. A, we've become very good friends as a result of the skiing. It's something that Keith saw me do a couple of years ago, and from that point decided that he wanted to try for himself to guide. We've been now together a year and a half skiing regularly. We skied Hill End, we've been up the resorts in Scotland, we've been abroad. The fact that Keith is younger, his reaction time is a lot shorter than possibly an older guide.
So it keeps you on your skis, literally?
It does. It means that because he can react to a situation so much quicker, then we can afford to go and ski more difficult runs and ski things a lot faster than someone that needs to think more what they want me to do.
On the other hand, doesn't that mean that Keith here can be a bit of a daredevil and you're doing runs that 15-year-olds would do?
I know what my limits are, and if I start to feel that I'm pushing beyond that limit, then I'll chicken out and just slow it down.
However, it can be the sighted skiers who are in for a shock. The radio headsets mean that the guide can be up to 200 yards away from his pupil. Les recalls one incident when he was skiing in Austria.
I heard over the headset from my guide, who had stopped and let me carry on skiing, that he was going to park me in the tow queue. So the instruction was, when I tell you, I want you to do a hard left stop. So carry on skiing, that's fine. You're ready for the stop, and now. As I spun round to the left and stopped, the person that I'd been parked beside, who obviously had seen me coming down the slope and read the bib saying blind skier, he just couldn't understand, and you know, how I'd stop without actually hitting him. And he was next seen lying on his back, skis in the air, totally unconscious. He had fainted, gone to lunch.
The unexpected side effects of blind skiing. Well, Douglas Bryce, it seems astonishing to me that people have the trust to ski when they can't actually see the slopes.
Some would say that's perhaps an advantage at times. But no, I mean, I think with Les is really an exception there, because I mean, Les is an excellent skier. Not an excellent skier for somebody who happens to be blind, but there are many, many sighted skiers that would envy the opportunity to ski to the standard that Les does. He really is an excellent all-round skier.
On a more general level, is it easy to learn to ski, I suppose, is the question, because a lot of us are quite terrified of the thought of getting up there and standing on two bits of wood and hurtling down the slopes.
It is very, very easy. I maintain it's perhaps easier to learn than tennis or squash or something like that. I think so long as you learn in an environment that's safe and fun.
Well, it's not a safe environment, though, is it? It's snowy and hard and you're up a high hill.
No, it's perfectly safe. It's I think it's probably more dangerous crossing a main road in Aberdeen or Edinburgh than it is going skiing. And certainly there's a new report being published where you're actually more individuals suffer fatalities fishing than they do skiing, and more individuals get injured playing I think it's table tennis or badminton than actually get injured in the slopes.
You've answered this question before, obviously.
in actual fact, it's one of the Scotland as such actually has a it's safer to ski in Scotland than anywhere else in Europe. Our statistics, if you want, show that less people get injured in Scotland than they do in Europe.
Be cynical, and that's because you can't get up the slopes because they're not. Assuming the roads are open and people are prepared to brave it, how easy is it to get started? How do people go about getting started if you've inspired them to get up the slopes today?
Right. I think before they even get to the slopes, I'd say if they want to get into the sport, there's really four possible avenues in. If you go to the local artificial ski slope, go and speak to them. If you know of a local ski club, go and speak to them. If not, use one of the individuals you interviewed earlier on. Go into one of your local reputable ski shop, because many of the individuals that work in there are qualified ski instructors, some of them to an international level. Or alternatively, if that doesn't help you, you can contact the ski council, and we can tell you anything you need to know about skiing, where to go, what to get, who to contact, anything like that.
What about one question? never seems to crop up. How fit do you need to be to ski? I mean, there's a lot of tubby people around after Christmas. Is it a sport for the tubby executive who's never even jogged in his life?
I think probably in common with taking up any sport, if you are one of the individuals that you've just highlighted or you're unsure, perhaps go and speak with your local doctor, your GP. Skiing is not that hard. It's not that strenuous as compared to perhaps other sports. There is a little bit of walking to do, just literally until you can manoeuvre yourself and you're safe if you want to be let out onto the highways of the slopes and start using lifts, etc. So, yes, there's a little bit of walking to do to begin with. Not that much nowadays. People learn to ski very, very quickly, and that's when the enjoyment starts.
Do you need lessons, or is it intuitive? Can you get up there and do it without a lesson?
You could probably go up and try to do it without a lesson. I can assure you that it's probably safer to do it with some form of instruction.
Well, can you damage yourself if you just go up and learn on a gentle slope?
It really depends where you try and learn. And gentle slopes, you'd be amazed. Some people go up and point to things that they say they believe are gentle slopes, which are like the north face of the Eiger. We would, at the Ski Council, we'd always say, go and learn through a reputable ski school, ski instructor, perhaps a local youth club or ski club could provide instruction. That will actually learn quicker, and you'll start moving around and you'll start enjoying what must be one of the best sports in the world.
Douglas, not to stop it there. A hard sell, but very successful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Alistair Scobie, John King and Douglas Bryce.